Welcome to the Event Planner Association podcast. On the podcast, EPA brings together event planning experts and vendors to share with you their best practices. To learn how EPA can help your event business, simply go to www.eventplannerassociation.com. And now, here's the Event Planner Association podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, I have the good fortune to be interviewing Christy LaMagna, President and Chief Strategist of Strategic Events. Christy, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you, Seth.
Christy was a vice president of a Fortune 50 company and a member of five different startup organizations. Her strategic insight and creativity will make all your events truly memorable experiences. She's got over 20 years of industry experience and worked on events ranging in size all the way up to an intimate board of directors meeting to an event of 150,000 people. She's a frequent speaker, contributor to industry publications, and professor of meeting and event management. Christy, thank you so much for joining us. We are really excited to dive right in.
I'm looking forward to it. Let's go.
All right. Let's go back in time a little bit. Where did you grow up?
I grew up all over Long Island, so pretty far east and pretty far west. So I'm a Long Islander.
Okay. And what was your childhood like?
You know what? I had a very varied experience in my childhood. We moved every 2.5 to 3 years. So I very early in life got very used to meeting new people and having to be the kid who would walk up to someone and say, hi, I'm the new girl in class. So that allowed me to be pretty outgoing and pretty self-assured very early in life. So I grew up surrounded by a big Italian family and, you know, doing Sunday dinners with my grandparents and, you know, just surrounded by love and books and good food and family. It was, and being on Long Island. So the water was never too far away. It was a pretty good life. Pretty good way to grow up.
Awesome. And how did you get to be VP of a Fortune 50 company?
I was called by a friend of mine who had been recruited by a headhunter, and she said, this job is, you know, too big for me. Are you interested? And I interviewed for it, and I decided, you know, I'm going to stick with owning my own company. That's the decision I've made. That's what I want to do. And after I had already interviewed, and the headhunter knew that the title didn't impress me and that the money didn't impress me, so she managed to get into my head, and she said, well, you know, if you think this job is bigger than you can handle and you're intimidated, I understand.
Ouch.
And she was very smart because she knew by saying to me, you know, oh, you're going to make this much and don't you want to be a VP? And so she found my button and she pressed it. And I stewed over that for about 90 days. And I called her back and was like, I'm sure the job is gone. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you called me back. It's still available. The only person they want to hire is you. And I took the job because she knew how to push my buttons and it worked. So I took the job just to prove to her or anybody else who thought I couldn't do it that I could.
Wow. So then
yeah,
how did you get from
clever.
There to strategic events?
I had started strategic meetings and events in 2001 and went. I was living out in California, moved back to the East Coast and got this phone call while I was still running it. And this job opportunity, once I said I would take it, it was then I needed to put my company kind of on a back seat. So I had someone who worked for me run the day-to-day operations, and I went full-time into this VP job. So the company ran without me while I was there. And then once I got there, I realized, you know what, I left corporate America for a really good reason, and I can do this job. I just choose not to work in corporate America. So I then went back to my original plan and started running SME again, and I haven't looked back since.
Wow, that I'm sure the longer version of that could probably fill a book if it hasn't.
Indeed.
So talk to me about, it says you planned an event for over 100,000 plus people. Talk about that. What was that? How did that come about?
So I've done that on two different occasions, one in conjunction with a larger organization. When I was in publishing, my roots are in print publication, And I worked for a company called Ziff Davis, which was owned by a larger company called SoftBank. And this was in the late 90s, early 2000s, and we owned a show called Comdex. And that was, on good years, 250,000 people would come to this trade show that we owned. So I was a part of the team that ran that. So that was 250,000 of your closest friends all converging in Las Vegas the week before Thanksgiving. So I was a part of that process. And then when I was a VP at my last corporate job, we would do international business conferences in real estate. And those events, we would do waves and waves and waves of people that would, you would be in a location for 4 weeks, at least 4 weeks, taking waves of people. And that ended up hitting 100,000 people. So it was, it's, you know what, the difference between 10,000 people and 100,000 people is it's a bigger room. You know, it's a little bit more planning, but the details in a lot of ways are the same. If you can't plan a meeting for 20,000, or if you can plan a meeting for 20,000, you can probably plan a meeting for 200,000. It's just a little bit more transportation in a bigger room.
That is, I'm sure you're under-exaggerating, but that is
a little bit
way to look at it.
A little bit.
What,
skill set
you,
is skill set.
What are some of the biggest event planning mistakes you've seen happen?
Some of the biggest event mistakes that I've seen happen, unfortunately, you know, I made along the way because, you know, we just, it's incredible how much we don't know when we start out. One of the biggest event mistakes that I've seen happen in recent times is I was actually at an event in the capacity of video production because I have a master's in mass communications and I have a video background. So one of my clients asked me, you know, can you come shoot a video for us documenting this opening that we're having? So I was there in a different capacity than usual. And in all fairness, I was in a foreign country, so their standards are not necessarily the same. But this, I walked into the room, and the stage was really just dirty and dilapidated and awful. And the keynote who was speaking was my client, and he's quite an established, respected man. And I'm looking at this stage saying, this is filthy. I can't imagine that this is really 20 minutes or 40 minutes before this man's going to speak. This is what they're going to have him speaking on. And I don't know if somebody saw me and heard me commenting that this stage was a disaster or if they realized it at the same time. But 20 minutes before this gentleman in his, you know, Bruno Magli shoes were about to get on stage, they pulled out a can of black paint and they painted the stage black 20 minutes before he was going to step on stage. So that was fascinating because he then proceeded to walk onto a stage with wet paint. That to me was just spectacular in its awfulness. And I just stood there and said, I can't even begin to believe this is happening. But it did. And, you know, that to me was pretty significant. You know, other things that I've seen are events. We were just at an event recently where the planner forgot somehow to, I guess, check the buffets before the lines opened. And there was no silverware on the tables and there was no silverware at the buffet. And I guess I don't know who didn't check what, but yeah, so they had a function for 250 people and then they had to scramble at the last minute to get everybody silverware. So it's usually the little stuff that causes the big problems.
How, on the other side, how do you measure a successful event?
I personally, I think a successful event is one where the goal that you set out to achieve was achieved. So if the people leave the event thinking, saying, and feeling what it is that you intended, that event is successful. So it could be as simple as, and a successful event could be a dinner party where you wanted your family to meet your new fiance and like them, and that went well because you set up the evening such that everybody was able to focus on conversation and the introduction of this person versus a business meeting where, you know, morale is down and we've got to get everybody excited about this, the fact that we have to cut salaries and work harder, and you manage to deliver that message in a cohesive way so you've got, you know, people on board when they leave. It's when you have a clear goal in mind and the event that you create achieves that goal, that to me is a successful event regardless of the details of how that comes to pass.
That is an excellent definition. What do you like best about your business?
Oh, my gosh, that that every day is different, that every person I work with has their own understanding and expectation of what success is, and that I can do the same event for the same person 5 years in a row, and every year it's a completely different experience. And I never know when I pick up the phone what somebody's going to say to me. I had a client, I picked up the phone one day and I heard, "Christy, I need you to get us camels." I'm like, okay, camels. Sure, I'll get you some camels. So it's you never know what's going to happen on the other end of the phone when it rings.
Camels, that is a new one.
Camels.
What do you attribute your success to?
I say this tongue-in-cheek, but it's sort of true. I could take a pill to fix the fact that I am, you know, anal retentive, but instead I've turned it into a very successful 26-year career. So it's a natural, I was born with a need to, you know, put things in their proper place, and I like to be a leader, and, you know, I'm pretty obsessive about, you know, if I see something and I know that I can do it, I need to see it through to its completion. And it's just, I have a natural desire to want to help people. And my attitude is, if you can do it, then why wouldn't you? And that's in my personal life and my professional life. So if this thing needs to get done and it's a Herculean task, I can do it. So why wouldn't I? It's just, I love the challenge, and I love going from a concept to then standing in the back of a room saying, this is even better than what we dreamed, and we did this. And to me, it's like you give birth every time you have an event.
That is a great way to look at it. With all the success you've achieved, what is your biggest challenge now?
My biggest challenge now is that, and I talk about this a lot, this industry has been so good to me, and I have lived such a fulfilling, enriching, challenging, wonderful professional life. And when I started, people would say to me, event planning, is that a career? Oh my gosh. And, you know, that's fair, because 26 years ago, it was still very new. But we as an industry have grown and are very well established now. But the problem is, people still have no firm understanding of what we do, how much work it takes, how much talent it takes. A lot of people are under the misimpression that an admin can do the job because it's just calling a hotel and booking a room. And we are, as an industry, widely, widely misunderstood, tremendously undervalued. And, you know, every time that there's a company that throws a big party, you know, the media goes crazy and says, oh, meetings are boondoggles and this is a big waste of money. And we as an industry are disrespected, and we as a profession have not come together to find a singular voice, define our mission, define our purpose, and come up with a shared vocabulary to discuss who we are, what we do, why it brings value, and how we add to a company's bottom line, not detract from it. And I'm now, one of the things that I'm dedicating the second half of my career to is being a change agent, speaking about that, educating people about that, teaching college about that, and teaching about the difference between being an event strategist versus either an event planner or party planner, because they're very different things. And until we as an industry decide we earn and are going to work for the respect that we deserve, we are going to be considered party planners who have glamorous jobs, travel around the world, and, you know, drink wine and go to golf games for a living. And that's our fault, because we don't fix it.
That I'm sure that you will be a change agent and accomplish that. Where do most of your clients come from?
Word of mouth. Word of mouth. People see articles that I read. People are at events that I speak at, listen to webinars that I do or attend webinars, you know, online. And a client will leave one company, go to another one, they bring us with them. I don't advertise, and I'm very particular about the clients I choose. I turn down clients. So we hand select the people we work with, and it's usually word of mouth or through me networking.
Okay. And anything drives you crazy about your business?
Yeah, that when I'm at a networking event and I meet someone and they say, what do you do? And I say, I'm an event strategist. And they say, oh my gosh, I planned my daughter's wedding. I'm thinking about becoming an event planner. I'm going to open my own event business now. And that makes me bananas, because 26 years in, people still think that this is a hobby. And what I now say to them, and this goes back to saying that we as an industry need the vocabulary to to handle these things, most people will say, oh, yeah, you know, it's a great job. I get to travel. And I'll say to the person who inevitably says this to me is, oh, that's interesting. Let me ask you a question. Did you make dinner last night? I say, excuse me? Did you make dinner last night? They'll say, yes. And I said, well, then should you also open a restaurant?
That is an excellent way to look at it.
And it kind of, not necessarily as nicely as it could be, but, you know, firmly but still politely kind of emphasizes really there's more to this than that. And it makes me bananas and it frustrates me because every day, our profession is disrespected. And how do you devote 26 years of your life to something and then meet a total stranger who says, oh, you go to parties for a living. Can you put me in your suitcase? Yeah, okay, sure, I could do that because I get paid to, you know, go to parties. That's what I do. So that makes me bananas.
Yeah, I can tell. I can hear the angst in your voice. I am sure a number of event planners feel the same way. Who is an ideal client for you?
An ideal client for me is we do mostly corporate events. I don't do anything social. A corporation who is spending $350,000 or more on an event that is goal-oriented. The first question I ask a potential client is, why do you want to have this event? And if they say to me, well, we have this meeting every year, okay, that's actually not the answer. So it's got to be someone who understands the difference between an event planner and an event strategist and who understands that events marry a sales and marketing team's vision and bring it to life. Because when I meet clients who can't appreciate what we're doing, I will say to them, predominantly the people I talk to are females, and I'll say to them, you want a very simple wedding gown, and I'm going to create a one-of-a-kind handmade dress with crystals sewn onto it. That's not what you want, and that's the only thing I'm capable of. So I'm not going to work with you because I'm going to give you more than you want, and in the end, you're not going to be happy with it. And I can't do just a simple plain silk sheath. Everything I do has a tremendous attention to detail, and I'm not going to give you something that you're not going to be happy with. So my ideal client understands strategy, wants to have a year-long message, wants to make sure that this event achieves a goal, wants to be strategic about their spend, and who wants to have a uniform message from announcement of the event until the end of the year, because we create a year-long marketing campaign around our events. And so I need someone who wants me to partner with them in strategy, not do a three-day event that we give out badges, tchotchkes, and then send everybody home and check the box.
And what is the best place for them to go to learn more about you?
If they go to my website, which is strategic.events, they can get a good sense of who we are and what we do. And from there, they can just shoot me an email, or they can just shoot me an email in general at christy.lamagna@strategic.events.
All right. This has been Seth Green with Christy from Strategic Events. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Seth. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next time.